All right, well, this is June 21st, and it's also known as Father's Day. And so we do wish you a happy Father's Day for those of you who are here today as fathers. We pray God's blessing and honor over you here today, and we hope that you've had an opportunity maybe to hear from the people that God has blessed you with. And so we're going to pursue a thought today around this new covenant idea, and we're going to call it, Who's Your Mama? Okay, so it's perfect for Father's Day, right? It's perfect for Father's Day. We're going to talk through, though, a couple fathers, but specifically we're going to highlight a couple mothers as it relates to the new covenant. So if you've got your Bible here in a minute, we're going to be in Galatians 4. You might want to go ahead and turn there. Our morning studies were in Hebrews 7 where they were dealing with this. But we're going to chase the end of Galatians in the very first verse of Galatians 4, in the very first verse of chapter 5 here. In just a minute. But let's begin here. Have you ever, I want to ask you a question, have you ever looked at somebody and go, man, you look just like your, you know, their mom or dad? And maybe somebody you knew, maybe somebody you didn't know, you just thought, wow, they've got to be related. Has anyone ever said that of you? Like you favor your dad or you favor your mom so much, I can just see so much of them in you. Right? There's a reason for that. It's because we have parts of their DNA running through our system, right? And so we are easily identified often as those that we have been brought into this world by. That just makes sense. And so when people look at me or they look at you, they may be able to say, hey, I don't really know you, but I know that you're a Penn. Or they may know, I don't know you, but they know you by last name, and they can tell by your facial features or by your height or stature or by your laugh, something about you that identifies you as belonging to that family. Well, what we're going to look at today is that there are also identifiers, spiritually speaking, where people look at us and they know that we are part of a certain family. And here today what we're saying is we belong to a certain mama, okay? So I'm going to ask you right up front, is your mama Hagar or is your mama Sarah? You don't have to answer me. You may be thinking, neither of those are my mama. What are you talking about, preacher? All right? I'm not talking about your biological mother. I'm talking about your spiritual mother, okay? Who is your spiritual mother? Is her name Hagar or is her name Sarah? Or at the point we find her, it's pronounced maybe Sarai, something like that. Kind of an odd name. But Galatians 4 is where we're going to be, okay? And so we're going to try to answer that question. We're going to pursue these two people with the thinking of a new covenant, okay? New covenant. So we'll talk old and new, but specifically we'll highlight the new to cast a shadow on the old. So here in Galatians 4, we've got Paul dealing with people who are not unlike you and I. They're Christians and they're new believers, but they are struggling in their faith and they're kind of returning to their roots. And they've bought into a way of trying to please God rather than just being pleasing to God because you are, because you exist, because you've received his son. And so they've been struggling with the idea of trying to earn their salvation. And they've started to prove it by participating in certain ceremonies and rituals, different things that we'll get into here this morning. But specifically, that's kind of our setup for Galatians 4, where we're going to find Paul talking to them about two moms. Okay? And so let's go here. Galatians 4, 21 through verse 31. It says, tell me, you desire, or you who desire to be under the law, do you not hear the law? For it's written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondwoman, the other by a free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman was born according to the flesh, and he of the free woman through promise, which things are symbolic. For these are the two covenants, the one from Mount Sinai, which gives birth to bondage, which is Hagar. For this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia and corresponds to Jerusalem, which now is, and is in bondage with her children. But the Jerusalem above is free, which is the mother of us all. For it is written, this is from Isaiah, rejoice, O barren, you who do not bear, break forth and shout, you who are not in labor, for the desolate has many more children than she who has a husband. Now, we brethren, as Isaac was, are children of promise. But as he who was born according then to the flesh then persecuted him who was born according to the Spirit, even so it is now. Nevertheless, what does the Scripture say? Cast out that bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. We are children of the bondwoman, not of the bondwoman, rather, but we are the free. So we're going to progress through this text today. Three things we'll highlight as it relates to this idea of new covenant, trying to establish who our mama is, who our mother is. And so Paul says here, I'm going to tell you a story. I'm going to use an allegory. So what he is not saying is that these Old Testament stories, the only reason they were written was for this purpose. He's just simply referring to them as a way of understanding a New Testament principle. Okay? So that's part of the background here. We've got a man in the story. We've got a dad. What's his name? All right, he becomes Abraham. Initially, he is Abram. Okay, and Abram is married to Sarah or Sarai. Okay, and they've not been able to have children. And so we're going to find there's another woman in the story, and her name is Hagar. Okay, and by the way, Abram is also married to Hagar. So he has two wives, and he's going to have children by both of these women. And so what we're going to see is that the genealogy, the bloodline here specifically, is going to run out of the woman in this text and not necessarily the father or the dad. So three things we'll note here as it relates to the new covenant. All right, initially is this. The new covenant is going to expose something in us, and it's going to expose this desire to rely on ourselves. The new covenant exposes our desire to rely on ourselves. And so here initially, Paul's going to lay out the two covenants that we just talked about. One is identified by Hagar. That's the Old Testament covenant. One is identified by Sarah or Sarai, which is the New Testament covenant. In the text we read also, church, there's two things and two phrases that are very important that help us understand who our mama is, okay, and whether or not we really do flow from that line. And so let's go to Genesis 15, and we're going to find the story. Basically, Galatians 4, the later part of it, flows out of Genesis 15 through about 21 or 22. And so you've got the Old Testament story. You've got a New Testament writer, Paul, recapping that story, using it as an allegory to help us understand this new covenant. And so in Genesis 15 and 16, we find Abram, we find Sarah, or Sarai, and we find Hagar. So let's go back to Genesis 15, verse 4 or 5. Then the word of the Lord came to him, "This man will not be your heir, but a son who is your own flesh and blood will be your heir." Verse 5, he took him outside and said, "Look up at the skies, and count the stars, if indeed you can count them." And then he said to him, "So shall your offspring be." And so here we have the plan of God for Sarah and Abram. God is going to bless them with a child. You have a child by one, but the blessing is not coming through his line. Okay? So we're going to bless you with children. Now, at this point, how many children do Abram and Sarah have? Zero. Okay? They have zero children, and God is promising him. He says, "Count the stars. Your descendants will outnumber the stars." Right? If it's possible to count them, you will have many more. So Sarah, desiring a child for her husband, comes up with a plan. And Sarah had a handmaid, this woman Hagar. And what she says to her husband is, "I want you to have her as your wife, bear a child with her, so then at least your name will have some honor. You know, I'll go down forever as a barren woman, but at least there will be honor with you, Abram or Abraham." So in Genesis 16, we see this kind of play out. Verse 1 and 2, "Now Sarah, Abram's wife, had borne him no children," all right, zero children between Sarah and Abram at this point. "But she had an Egyptian slave named Hagar, and so she said to Abram, 'The Lord has kept me from having children. Go sleep with my slave. Perhaps I can build a family through her.' Abram agreed to what Sarah said." And so they have a child, and this son's name is Ishmael. Okay, so Abram and Sarah have a son named Ishmael. And Paul says in Galatians 4:23 that this is the son according to the, what, you remember? According to the flesh. This is the son according to the flesh. Okay? And so what does that mean? Paul's using a story here to demonstrate what this really means. And so what we're talking about is our desire to do things on our own, basically being self-reliant. And so God says to Abram and Sarah, "I'm going to bless you with children," and they decide that God's taking too long, and so they come up with their own scheme and ask God to bless it. Is that a good idea? No, that never works out in a favorable way. "God, I've waited too long for you. You made a promise. I'm just going to do it myself." that never ends well. And so here we see that it didn't end well either. But nonetheless, this is the Son who was born according to the flesh. According to the flesh, Galatians 4:23, that is Hagar and her son Ishmael. Now, that's the old covenant, okay? Being self-reliant, trying to earn it, trying to do it your own way, trying to get it good enough and get it right enough, so then God's like, okay, finally, you've just excelled. That's the old way. That's the self-reliant way. And so the old covenant was self-reliant. The new covenant here is exposing that self-reliance. Now, when we find Sarah and Abram, God promised them a child. How old were they? Do you remember when Isaac was born? 10 years between them. Abraham at this point is 100, and Sarah is 90. Okay? 100 years old and 90 years old. I don't know how it worked like health-wise back then, but I would say they still aged back then like how we age now. The Bible says she was beyond the point of childbearing. So this was not something that really should have been a physical possibility. And that's why this covenant, this phrase, is very important. This child is the child of promise. And so you've got a child born according to the flesh. His name is Ishmael, referencing the old covenant, self-reliant. And you've got a child who's going to be born of divine promise, which is going to demonstrate God reliance. Abram, Sarah could not have a child if God had not intervene. And so you get this picture here, self-reliance versus God-reliance. Let's go back to Genesis 21 and kind of see this story unfold. Verses 1 through 3. Now the Lord was gracious to Sarah, as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah what he had promised. Sarah became pregnant and bore a son to Abraham in his old age at the very time God had promised him. Abraham gave the name Isaac to the son Sarah bore. And so here we have this picture, right? We've got the Old Testament, which relies on who? On self. And we've got the New Testament, or the New Covenant, which relies on God. It's got to be God, okay? There's either grace at work or there's not. It's either grace or I'm trying to earn it. Grace or I'm trying to work. Grace or I'm trying to be pleasing. And so this New Covenant shows us what the old one was, and that was built on self-reliance. Back in verse 21, we see Paul summarizing kind of the attitude of these people. And I want to go there and look at this because this is important. He says, tell me you who what? Desire. Tell me you who want to be under the law. Right? Tell me. So these are people who had been under the law, had been set free from the law. That is, they were trying to earn salvation. They found salvation in grace, free gift. Now tell me, you who want now to go back to that same law, back to being enslaved, are you not aware of what the law says? What are you thinking? And so he's exposing their desire. He's exposing their heart, this thing for self-reliance. Last week, Paul showed us that these people had come out of this slavery, and today what we're seeing is that they have a desire to go bad. You know, sometimes we can get on people's case in a hurry, can't we? You should know better than that. What are you thinking? I can't believe they did that. I mean, that just seems so out of character for them. Sometimes we look at people and just start to judge them. We want to be very careful here. I think we fall prey to this category as well. Now, we probably wouldn't say it that way. We wouldn't walk out of here saying, I'm a self-made Christian, but sometimes we probably live that way. I have come to you by faith, and I've received your son Jesus. Thank you for the gift, and now I'm going to work hard. And along the way, working hard to please you became working hard to really show how good I am. Now I'm grown up. Now I'm matured. Now I know Scripture. Now I know deep doctrines, and now I know I can share it with other people, and it becomes more about me than it does still yet about that simple faith in Jesus. I don't know that I'm too different sometimes. And so this is a call back, right? You've been brought into this new covenant by grace. The only way you stay there is by grace. Doesn't matter how mature you get. Memorize the whole Bible, doesn't matter. It's still grace. Win thousands to the Lord, it's still grace. It's always grace. It has nothing to do with our maturity. I was reading an article here this week from a gentleman named John Piper, and you know John Piper, some of you. And he was talking about this idea of maturity, where we get to a point where it's kind of like, we wouldn't say it this way, I just don't need God anymore. Thank you for getting me started, Lord, but now I've got it covered from here. And so I've got the Christian thing down pat. And so he says this. He had some people who came to him and said they didn't want to sing a certain song in church anymore. You know what the song was? Guess. Nope, we sang it this morning. Jesus loves me. Pastor, what are we doing singing that in our services? That's a kiddie song. Good grief. That's a shallow song. Take us to the deep end. We don't want these shallow doctrines in our singing. He said, my, my, my. So what does the song say? I don't know. It says, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they're weak, but he is strong. And he said, what's the last line again? They are weak, but he is strong. And what he says is, when we become these strong Christians, we have a hard time sometimes admitting that we're still weak, that we're still needy, that it is always and always will be about the grace of Christ and never ever about our maturity. That's the new covenant. The old way of doing things was saying, I'm going to earn it now. I'm just going to be good enough and you got to be proud of me. Listen, God loves us as is. All right? You know, most things you buy as is, what do you not get with them? A guarantee or a warranty. With God, we do. I'll take you the way you are. I'm going to change you, but I'll take you as is. And so Mr. Piper said, so we continued to sing the song at our little church there in Minnesota. All right? Jesus loves me. We are weak. May we never forget that. We're always dependent on the grace of Christ. We're always children under that new covenant. And here he makes this beautiful picture of saying we are children of promise. You know what happens when I start to struggle with self-reliance? And the Bible has some strong words about those who are willing to start under the promise and then go back to being under the flesh. We didn't read it, but Galatians 5, just the very next chapter, verses 2 through 4, here's what Paul says to these people, because this is what they were doing. You were slaves, now you're free, and now you're trying to earn it again. Why is your desire to try to earn it again? Verse 2 of Galatians 5. Mark my words. I, Paul, tell you that if you let yourselves be circumcised, which was this act, this way of earning it, this way of identifying yourself, Christ will be of no value to you at all. So if you want to go back to being enslaved, Christ is worth what to you? Nothing. What he did for you at that point is going to have no purpose towards you. Verse 3, again, I declare to every man who lets himself be circumcised that he is obligated to obey what? The whole law. So if you want to try to do one thing to earn the favor of God, now you're going to have to do everything. It's either all grace or it's all perfection, obedience to the law. And what he's saying is you've already messed that point up. What makes you think you can go back under the law and find the same provision that you have found under Christ? Verse 4, you who are trying to be justified by the law, you've been alienated from Christ and you have fallen away from grace. See, this new covenant exposes that old strong macho man within me, which says, okay, he got the ball going, but now I'm the one that's kind of running the thing. I'm working hard. I'm earning it. And it's because of me that he is proud. It's because of me that I still stand in his favor. The new covenant exposes that self-reliance. May we never forget that we are weak and it's always faith like a child that has brought us this salvation. All right, secondly here, this new covenant. This new covenant is going to give us a reminder, and it's this, that God always fulfills his promises. And to me, that's one of the beautiful storylines in the story of Abraham and Sarah. God always fulfills his promises, and this is the phrase we need to remember today, in his time. In his time. There's a purpose. We sang a song this morning right off the start. Never once. Why? Because God is faithful. He always comes through in his time. And so if we go back to the story there in Genesis 21, let's look at this. Verse 2, Sarah became pregnant. She bore a son to Abraham in his old age. And what's the last little phrase there? At the very time that God had promised. Right? The problem with self-reliance was God had promised. We just what? We're just not waiting on it anymore. We've tried your way. You said our descendants would be as numerous as the stars. Where is even one? And so they gave up on the promise. And what we see here in 21 is that the promise was fulfilled in God's time. It's always about God's timing. Paul writes of this as well back in Galatians 4, verse 23, as he reflects on that story. He says, his son by the slave woman was born according to the flesh, but his son by the free woman was born as the result of a divine promise. And so God promised a long time ago that the whole world would be blessed through the descendants of Abraham, specifically Jesus. And through Christ, everyone would have the opportunity for this blessing of freedom, blessing of salvation. And so Paul declares that this is fulfilled or yet to happen. It's fulfilled. Okay, the time has come. So God declared a promise to these Old Testament people hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds, thousands of years ago, that the whole world would be blessed. And now Paul is declaring that that blessing has come to fruition. It has been fulfilled. Let's go to verse 4 and 5 of that same chapter, Galatians 4. But when the set time had fully come, what's our phrase? All right, so when the set time had fully come, in his time, at the appointed time, when the set time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman who was born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption to sonship. Isn't that good? God said, I'm going to promise, and then God says, I'm going to fulfill. And we see that in Abraham and Sarah. God said, I'm going to bless the world, and God fulfilled his promise. He's a promise maker, and he's also a promise keeper. At the exact time God declares to come through, he will. And so the reality of the church age today, which is the age that you and I are living in, is this. Anybody who will believe in Jesus will find this freedom from their sin. Anybody. So you can do it one of two ways. You can try to be good enough and try to earn it. Try to work yourself to where God's going, okay, and finally you're getting yourself together. Or you can receive the free gift whose name is Jesus. You can receive grace. And so he's reminding us that God is always fulfilling his promise. For those who believe, verse 28 says this, now you brothers and sisters, like Isaac, what are we? We are children of promise. Those of you, brethren, sisters, who believe, you and I are all children of promise. And I just want to echo that here this morning. If you've believed in Jesus, you're like Isaac. You're this one who's been delivered by promise. You've not earned it. You don't deserve it. But God said, if you'll believe in my son and receive him, I'll set you free. And so we stand in grace simply by faith in Jesus. God also promised in his text that for anyone who would believe, they would be filled with his spirit, they would be adopted as his children, and they would become heirs to everything that is God's. And whatever God has determined belongs to us as our inheritance, he says, here you go. Right? And that day is coming. We sang about that in It Is Well. Lord, haste the day when my face shall be silent, the clouds rolled back, the trump will sound, the Lord will descend, and I'll exclaim, it's well with my soul. That day is going to come. All right? That day is going to come. And so here we see those who have believed and received are those who are children of the promise. And I love the passage in the scriptures which says, and he who promised is faithful. He who promised is faithful. Every promise God has geared towards you and I in his word, he will come through on in his time. And so wait. Just wait. Be faithful and you wait. Somewhere along the way, God's going to answer that prayer. God's at work in ways right now that we don't see and we cannot fully understand, even in our own lives. And yet what we know is that he will be faithful to his promise. The new covenant reminds us he's always faithful. And then third and last here this morning, this new covenant is really about true freedom. And it's true freedom for everyone who believes. See, there literally are no strings attached. You know when you're buying something seemingly significant and somebody's trying to hook you with their line, whatever their sales pitch is? Don't you always feel a little bit used? Like, okay, I'm getting what I want out of the deal, but so are they. Like, they've kind of baited me in here, and this has just not worked. There's always a catch. Here, there's no catch. There's no strings attached. It is always grace. It is always free. And it is always, what the scriptures say, lavished, or it's always full, or it's always rich. And so for these Galatian believers, they had a hard time with reality. They had a hard time with reality. I want to earn it. That's why I desire to be back under the law. I want some credit. So they started following rituals and all those things that we've mentioned here this morning. The reality was they became entangled once again in the very slavery that they had been freed from. And any time we try to go back, trying to earn it, what we find is that freedom is being snatched or being drawn, or we're just getting wrapped up once again in that thing that bound us, being a slave trying to earn God's good favor. And so that was them, but that can be us as well here this morning. I've received free grace, but now I'm trying to earn His love. I've received His gift, and I'm part of this new covenant. I've been adopted as His child, and yet I still feel like I have to earn my keep. And what this text should beckon us to, church, is to be people who are always thankful. Always thankful. Never having to earn it. And you ever have a day, and we talked through this a couple weeks ago, where you feel like you're just not doing enough? I'm a Christian. I should be doing more Christ things. Should be doing something else. Should be doing more. Typically, what we find in the doing more is satisfaction in the fact that we're doing something, rather than in this is what God is asking us to do. And we find satisfaction in owning our development rather than just resting in His grace. Man, that's a hamster wheel none of us want to get on. We may run it for a while, but we will certainly grow weary. And so Paul's writing and he says to them, stand firm. I don't know why you desire to be enslaved again, but you've been set free from that. And so let that burden go. You don't have to earn it. Stand firm in this gospel that I first shared with you. Let's go to Galatians 5, verse 1. It says, it's for freedom that Christ has set us free. Why did Christ set us free? Because He wants us to be free. He didn't set us free to say, oh, get back into your slavery. He said, I really want you to be free. This is a gift. Rest. He says, stand firm then and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Listen, if you find yourself being a person who's motivated or this is kind of your mentality, I want you to read this verse over and over and over again until you can quote it, until you own it. You've been set free to be free. So stand in your freedom and don't go back to the slavery. Phrase it however you want until you can get to the point where you really understand this is my reality. I don't have to earn His favor. I am a child of promise. I have not been born according to the flesh. And so I've been adopted all by free grace. And I always remain a child of God by that same grace. And so I'm going to stand in my freedom. Doesn't the scripture say, whoever is free, then you are free indeed? God has certainly set us free here, according to the text, to be people who are free. Verse 31 here. Galatians 4, he says, therefore, brothers and sisters, we are not children of the slave woman, but we are children of the free. And this morning we started off by asking you a question, who's your mama? And I said, is she Hagar, the old covenant, or is she Sarai, the new covenant? And maybe you knew a little bit about them, maybe you didn't know anything about them. What I want to know at this point is, who really is your mother? Whose line do you fall in? Are you the one who is still trying to earn it? Okay, so if there is a God somewhere and I am a sinner and that means there's got to be, you know, some reconciliation, we got to fix the problem here, then whatever you want me to do, God, I'll fix it. I'll work hard for you. I'll quit doing X, Y, Z. And so we start listing all the stuff we're not going to participate in anymore. And God's saying all along, receive my son. See, following Jesus isn't about doing the X, Y, Z, is it? Following Jesus is really about following him because we love him. There's been a transformation and it's ongoing. The Bible says Jesus literally lives in us. I've been crucified with Christ, therefore I no longer live. Jesus Christ lives in me. He's in me, and so he's changing me. So I don't have to earn it. I get to live as someone who has received it, and then I am being changed by him. And yeah, that's a process. And yeah, that kind of takes longer some days than we wish. But the truth is, I can be a work in progress and be a child of Sarah. But I'll never be a work in progress as a child of Hagar. I'm stuck in my own ruts of trying to be good enough to earn something that God has freely given. And if we won't take it freely, he says, you can't have it at all. If you're going to try to earn it, you got to do everything. And the truth is, none of us can. So are we a child of Sarah, or are we a child of Hagar? I just wonder, who is your mama?